Rock and Roll Geek Show 975.
Still rockin' after all these years.
This is the story of my rock and roll butler.
This is it, the show that started it all. Often imitated, but never equal. From San Francisco, USA, online since 2004, it's the one and only Rock and Roll Geek Show. With the original rock and roll geek, Michael Butler.
Welcome to the Rock and Roll Geek Show. My name is Michael Butler. Thanks a lot for joining me. I really appreciate it. Today is Wednesday, March 4th, 2020, and it is 7:25 p.m. when I'm recording this episode. This show may sound a little bit different tonight because I'm doing a new podcast setup. I'm going to try to mess with these things a little bit here with the headphones. Let me backtrack a little bit. First of all, let me take a sip of my... the last of the first beer of the day, which I'm drinking now. I'm drinking something different. I'm drinking Sapporo in the can because it was on sale for actually cheaper than Tecate at the grocery store. So hold on a second. Let me take it. I'm finish off this can. Ah! Oh, that was good. So we are trying to make the move from San Francisco to the mountains. And in order to make the move, I was told that I have to clear out my podcast studio. And I don't know if you've seen the thing, the video on Mad at Dad, but it is a disaster. And a lot of the stuff that's a mess is the clusterfuck of cables and everything on my podcast setup, which is the Mackie Onyx 1220 mixer with the Marantz PMD 670 recorder and a backup recorder in the two computer screens. So what I did, I broke down and bought a Rodecaster Pro podcast studio. It's all in one. It's a box. It's a box about the size of a, I guess about the size of a laptop, and it's got all these sound pads on it. Let me see if I can pull up the sound pads. So on the sound, this is podcast talking, but just bear with me, friends. It's got all these sound pads. So the microphones go into the mixer thing. It holds four microphones, four XLR mics, and it's got a preset for my microphone, which is a Electro Voice RE20. It's also got what's called Aphex onboard processing. Let's see if I can find that. So it's got, right now it's set to compressor, de-esser, high pass filter, noise gate, and it's got this Aphex RL exciter and big bottom. So this is without the big bottom. Hi, this is Michael Butler of the Rock and Roll Geek Show. And then you turn this on, and I'm supposed to sound more like a radio DJ. So if this show sucks, you can consider, this could be the show that jumps the shark. We'll call it the Rodecaster era of the Rock and Roll Geek Show. So I'm trying that out. It's also got these pads on it. It came preloaded with some sounds. Let me see if I can find the like, it's got this. That's called an intro and outro. Hey everybody, welcome to the Rock and Roll Geek Show with your host Michael Butler. Okay, that sucks. I won't be using that. And if I was to tell a joke, I could hit the laughter one. Hey, yeah, that was pretty funny. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. It's got an applause. And if I was also to tell a joke, I could do this. The preloaded sounds are really fucking cheesy. Like, it's got crickets. It's got a harp. Let's take a trip down. Okay, stop the harp. Why don't we take a trip down memory lane, shall we? Ooh, it could be scary, too. Ah, ooh, scary stuff. And it's got one last one. Yeah. But you can also load your own sounds on it, which I happen to load this one. And I happen to load this one, the train wreck, and the Mad at Dad. So that is my new... I'm trying to figure this out. It also has a records directly to a... Let me try to pause this thing. I gotta stop these fucking sounds here. Stop that sound. It records to a 32... Well, I got a 32 gig... mini SD card. It records to an SD card, but I have it also set to record to a backup just in case, because I don't trust this thing. If I would have had this when Joe Klein was here visiting, we might still be friends right now, friends. And what is really cool about this is you can connect your phone through Bluetooth. I can do interviews just for the phone. I don't have to do Skype interviews anymore. And they can hear the music. And you can connect your phone also directly to through a sound. So I could play music through my phone and from the computer. I have the computer hooked up to it so I can play music from the computer. It looks like a pretty cool setup. So I'm trying it out on this episode. So let me know if it sounds any better or any worse or if you just don't want to hear any more podcast talk from the Rock and Roll Geek Show. That's fine too. I'm kind of having to get used to this noise gate a little bit. It's a little bit weird, but. See how it goes. I'm looking forward to how it's going to go on the Mad at Dad program. And I'm interviewing somebody probably next week, which is what this show is about. I was reading this book that Dave, I think Dave Franco sent me this. He sent me three books. He sent me the Ted Nugent book, which is just called Ted Nugent, and there's two UFO books. One is the Michael Schenker years, and one is the Paul Chapman, or UFO in the 80s and 90s. And I was reading that when I was up at the Mountain House last week. And I was up to the chapter of the album Mechanics from UFO. And kind of gave me the idea, you know, maybe I should do a classic albums revisited on Mechanics, because it's one of my favorite UFO albums. I really like, my favorite era of UFO is Paul Chapman. I know that most people love the Schenker era the best, but I just kind of grew up with the Paul Chapman era, so that's why I like it. And those three albums that Paul Chapman did, No Place to Run, Wild, the Willing, and the Innocent, which is my favorite UFO album, and Mechanics, which is another one of my favorites. I figured I would, since I'm on the, when I was doing the Mechanics, reading the Mechanics chapter, I got the idea, you know, this album is kind of an underrated album. A lot of people either never heard this album or don't like it. And I thought, well, that sounds like I should do a classic albums revisited on the album Mechanics. So that's what I'm going to do tonight, friends. And While I thought about doing it, I thought, you know, because this is the first album with Neil Carter on keyboards. He took Paul Chapman's place. Paul Raymond. Paul Raymond left after No Place to Run, and they did Wild, the Willing, and the Innocent, and Neil Carter came in kind of while they were recording Wild, the Willing, and the Innocent, but he didn't really play on that album that much. I think he did a sax solo or something like that, or a little bit of saxophone. They had a different guy playing keyboards, but he came on full on Mechanics. And I thought it might be a cool idea to call or to try to get in touch with Neil Carter, because he's back in UFO, you know. And I asked him to come on the show, so he said yes. So this is going to kind of get you primed for Neil Carter. So I'm going to kind of do the songs that Neil Carter is on, and then I'm also going to do the track-by-track classic albums revisit of the UFO album Mechanics. Why don't we start off with something that Neil Carter is on from Gary Moore, the album Wild Frontier, which came out, 1987. Mechanics came out in like 82, I think, something like that. But we'll start off with, you know, let's do something different. We won't do Gary Moore to start off with. Something even farther back from 1980, a band called Wild Horses, which had Jimmy Bain on bass, Brian Robertson from Thin Lizzy on guitar and vocals, and Neil Carter played also guitar on this Wild Horses. He was also in a band called Lone Star with Paul Chapman, which I can't find any fucking Lone Star songs. I have a vinyl album, Headstone, which is the best of UFO, but I have not figured out how to put the turntable into this Roadcaster, because this Roadcaster just came yesterday, so have not completely figured out how to really use this thing. You know, I watch a couple of YouTube videos, so I have not got to keep the turntable hooked into it yet. So I can't play any Lone Star, because all I can find was the song I have on the Headstone Best of UFO album. Here is a song from the Wild Horses' first album, which is just called Wild Horses, the first album. This is Brian Robertson on vocals, Jimmy Bain on bass, and Neil Carter on guitar, as well as Brian Robertson. This song is called Blackmail, and it sounds a lot like Thin Lizzy. Here you go. Blackmail from... Oh, wait a minute. What's going on here? What the fuck is going... Okay. Stop. Oh. Here is... Here is Blackmail from Wild Horses. There you go. Blackmail from Wild Horses. Very much like Thin Lizzy. All right, before we get into the track, to the classic albums revisited, I also have a couple of things I wanted to talk about besides just the UFO album. And I also have a show review as well of The Darkness I'll play later on in the show. Before we do all that, I should thank some people who donated to the show, because it's been a while since we've actually thanked anybody. Find some background music here. How about a band called Black Swan, which was turned on to me by Greg Broffer, friend of the Rock and Roll Geek Show, which I'm probably mispronouncing his name. Black Swan features Robin McCauley from Michael Schenker Group, Red Beach is from Winger and Whitesnake, Jeff Pilson from Dokken, and now he plays bass in Foreigner. And Matt Starr, drummer from Ace Frehley. The band is called Black Swan. I have not heard this. We'll put it in the background while we thank the people who donated to the Rock and Roll Geek Show. How about the first song, Shake the World? All right, let me find the donors. Not loving this so far. All right, there are several ways you can donate to the Rock and Roll Geek Show, friends. You can go to patreon.com/rnrgeek. Not too bad. Oh, that's pretty good, actually. Okay. You can go to patreon.com/rnrgeek, like Tim Shaw donates $10 every episode. Joseph Coyne, $10 every episode. Joe Pollack, my bodyguard, donates $6.66 every episode. Dave Slusher, $5.55 every episode. He's one less than Pure Evil. Rodney Cross, $5. John Bovetti, $5. Derek Lewis, $5. Dan Gerowan, $5. Grant Faqua, $5. Marshall York, $5. Brad Schick, $5. Daniel Segan, $5. Betty Wood, thank you for the $5. Friend of the show and friend of mine, Michael Street, $5, who is in L.A. right now, or at least he was over the past weekend. A little too far south to visit Mr. Michael Butler, I guess. Brian Springer, $5. My good friend Chiaki Hinohara of the Metal Moment Podcast and Japanese Metalhead Show, $5. Thanks to Robert Harvey for the $5. Thanks to Ken Kennedy for the $5. Garrett Coward of the Comic Book Noise Podcast, $3 every episode. Kurt Crawford, $3. Paul Roop, $2.25. Adrian Boschon, Bosch Rock on the forums and the Rock and Roll Geek Facebook group, which I did not create, but I do approve people, but you just have to answer two questions. There is somebody up there right now who has yet to answer the questions, and tomorrow he will be deleted. Denied access. Adrian Boschon, $2. Patrick Shanahan, $2. Metal Dan, $2. Mike Dixon, $2. Bruce McMillan, $2. Eric Stowell, $2. Matthew Hunt, $2. Paul Underwood, maker of Fine Art Underwood's Barbecue Sauce, $2. Amy Bowen, $1. Arnie Stash, $1. Three Legs, Four Wheels, $1. Bonstone, $1. John Richardson, $1. And Corey Kohler, $1. I was fine. That's a pretty good album opener. How about the second one? Big Disaster. All right, you can also donate through PayPal. By the way, these donation links are at rockandrollgeek.com. It's the easiest way to find it. Just click the donate button. Michael Cranston gave me $100, a little something to add to your net worth. Speaking of net worth, take a break from the donors here for a second. Richard Fusey posted on the Rock and Roll Geek Facebook group. Turn down Black Swan a little bit. I guess he found this on Wikipedia about Michael Butler. Birthday December 24th, 1961. Birthplace California. Age 59, which I'm 58. Michael Butler, net worth and salary. Michael Butler is a bassist who has a net worth of $1.1 million. Yeah. Oh, it was updated. $1.1 million, updated March 19th, March 15, 2019, and he says, Butler, lend me $10. So Michael Cranston once donated $100 to add to my net worth. I have no money in my bank account, especially after I paid for this Rodecaster. So that is what is the definition of fake news, friends. Yeah, I'm in debt. Yes, exactly. My wife just walked in. I'm in debt for $1.1 million, maybe. But I don't, that's not my worth. Okay. Yeah, that's what my son's worth of $1.1 million, not me. All right, thank you to... Speaking of Richard... Oh, here she... Oh, she's in here. She's coming here bad-mouthing me, guys. Passive aggressiveness. Note to self. Lock the door in the studio when you're doing a podcast. If I was Ralph Cramden, she'd be to the moon right now, friends. All right, Richard Fusey. Thank you for the $25, Richard Fusey. Douglas Free, $20. Dave Jackson in the School of Podcasting, $10. Jeff and Sherry Thielalilicky, $10. Todd Cunningham, $10. Jason Shepard, $10. Yeah, I'm a loser, friends. I'm not worth $1 million. I am a fucking bum. Jason, Todd, Jeff and Sherry Thielalicky, $10. Todd Cunningham, $10. Jason Shepard, friend of the show, Todd Cunningham. Jason Shepard, $10. James Padgett, $10. Friend of the show and friend of mine, Ralph Miller, $10. Dave Franco, $10. Let's find a different song here. Johnny Came Marching. Well, their single is Make It There, I think. Let's try that one. Does your wife ever put you down, friends, in front of other people? Well, if so, this power ballad is for you. Oh, I forgot where I was. Dave Franco, $10. Bradley Lisko, $10. James Venner's, $10. Benjamin Mueller, $5. Dick, all right, I'm going to say Dick's last name correctly this time. Dick Scheit, $5. John Tennis, $5. Greg Long, $5. Eric Lentz, $5. Michael Williams, $5. Richard Strom, $5. This song is pretty bad. John Offenloch, $5. Chris Del Grande, $5. Jero Carroll, $5. Kelly Mitchell, $5. Peter Spark, $5. Sigmund Heidacher, $5. Dale Roller, $5. Richard Fusey, $5. Greg Garski, $5. Andrew Howell, $5. Jason Wendleton, $2. Robert Giglio of Cream Circus, $2. William Moffitt, $2. Lassie Sadvedhagen, $2. John Skiller, $2. Bradford Page, $2. Deborah Dreyfus, if that's your real name, $2. And finally, Richard Fusey donated another $2. Thank you to everybody who donated to the Rock and Roll Geek Show. Without your donations, this show would die a horrible, putrid, stench-filled death. I take a sip of this fine Tecate to everyone. Ah, even the deadbeats who don't donate. You can also just click the donate button, and there's an Amazon link. Click that Amazon link, and anything you buy on Amazon, I get a little kickback. So, thank you to everybody, friends. All right. Kill it! Thank you, producer. Okay. Let's do this UFO classic albums revisit. Let me pull up UFO. UFO. This book is pretty good. It's written by Martin Popoff, and he's a super geek. He interviews all the people in the band, and the Mechanics album, this was the last album with Pete Way in the band. Let me pull up Mechanics on the old Wikipedia here. Mechanics, you have Mechanics. Okay. It is UFO's 10th studio album, released in 1982. According to Wikipedia, the contemporary music advert, music press adverts on the album's release carried the tagline "Mechanics, it will tighten your nuts." Immediately after the completion of the tour and to support of the album, Pete Way left the band to join to form Fastway with Fast Eddie Clark. Pardon me, on bourbon, it was fine. Sapporo. According to the book, Pete Way did not like this album. He said they were chasing hit songs on this album. Apparently, the record label wanted them to come up with some hit songs, so they were trying to write a hit, because Wild, the Willing, and the Innocent pretty much tanked. So they brought in a producer named Gary Lyons, who did Foreigner's first album, which that's a massive hit. So they brought him in to make hits, and I think he produced Lone Star as well. He was a friend of Paul Chapman, so Paul Chapman suggested Gary Lyons. So he came in to produce. Neil Carter came in to take Paul Raymond's place, but on Wild, the Willing, and the Innocent, they got a different keyboard player to play most. They had already had the keyboard stuff recorded during Wild, the Willing, and the Innocent. So Neil Carter only came in and did a little bit of saxophone. Neil Carter, a sax player as well. Lots of saxophone on the Mechanics album. So they brought in Neil Carter. He also played guitar because he was like the lead guitar player in Lone Star. So he was a guitar player. They needed a guy who played keyboards and guitar. So they brought in Paul Chapman's friend, Neil Carter. And I don't think he got along with Pete Way too well, because Pete Way left the band right after, like the Wikipedia says, right after the recording of this. And according to Martin Popoff's book, Neil Carter kind of came in and contributed a lot to the songwriting, and kind of horned his way in, and kind of, I guess Pete Way kind of felt like he was getting a little bit overtaken in the creative department by Neil Carter, so maybe he was pissed off about that as well. Pete Way says he doesn't like the production on this album, and the songs are a little bit too hard trying to be hits. But I like the songs that are trying to be hits. And speaking of that, the songs that are trying to be hits are written by Pete Way. So, you know, you take what Pete says as, I love Pete Way. He's my favorite bass player of all time. But you got to take some of the things he says with kind of a grain of salt, because if you've read his book, you kind of know. So that being said, I love this album. I think almost every song on this album is great. Produced by Gary Lyons on Chrysalis Records, recorded in Mountain Studios in Switzerland, which was Queen's studio. According to Gary Lyons, he made the phone call to Roger Taylor and asked if they could use the studio, because they wanted, the management didn't want them to be in London recording because there were too many distractions, so they figured that they would send them to Switzerland where they couldn't get into much trouble. So Roger Taylor said, yeah, you guys can use the studio. And I think Roger Taylor was a UFO fan, and he let him have it. He said, whatever you guys want to spend, whatever you want to pay me, just pay me. You know, you don't have much of a budget, that's okay. Just pay me whatever you want. And I think they got the studio for like next to nothing, according to the book. So that's a little bit. All right, I have the vinyl here. I actually have two copies of this. The front cover, it's kind of a cartoony looking cover. Who did this cover? Cover design, John Pash. Illustration by David Juniper. And the back photo was Ross Halfen, which was a very tiny little back photo. But the band looks cool as shit. Still Pete Way. I saw them on this tour. I think I saw them opening for Rush. Maybe I saw them open for Rush on No Place to Run. But I believe I saw them at the Tangerine Bowl in Orlando, Florida. Opening for Ozzy? That could be right. They could have been opening for Ozzy, and I think Pat Travers was on the bill. I don't remember the entire lineup. So the front cover it's a wrench. It's that kind of a kind of a comic booky drawing. It's a guitar neck, but instead of the headstock, it's got a wrench and a glove holding the, like a welder's glove holding the neck, and it's UFO Mechanics. And according to Wikipedia, it will tighten your nuts. So the first song is called The Writer, written by Paul Chapman, Phil Mogg, and Neil Carter. All right? Listen to a little bit of this. Let's do the Rock and Roll Geek scoring system. Let me find something to write on here. Let's see. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, a credit card statement, an overdue credit card bill. That's as good of a thing to do as anything else. Mechanics. All right, first song is The Writer, written by Paul Chapman, Phil Mogg, and Neil Carter. According to Paul Chapman, he hardly participated in any of the songwriting on this album because he was going through a very nasty divorce. I think he lived in Florida, and his girlfriend was, or his wife at the time, was from the Netherlands or somewhere around like that. And he was going through all that shit, so he wasn't participating too much in the songwriting process because he was dealing with his soon-to-be ex-wife. Written by Paul Chapman, Phil Mogg, and Neil Carter. Okay, first song, Pete Way had nothing to do with the songwriting. Here you go, The Writer. Great riff. I love this song, and I think it's a great, great riff. I'm a writer, and I'm the news. This is around the time that Phil Mogg was really into Bruce Springsteen. He got on a Bruce Springsteen kick during Wild, the Willing, and the Innocent and this album. So a lot of the lyrics supposedly are like ripoffs of Bruce Springsteen about street life and things. This song is about rock critics. Slip out the news or a piece of scandal. Don't draw the line cause nothing's too hot to handle. Saxophone pretty much all throughout the tune. I think it starts with a sax solo. Yeah. I happen to love the saxophone in this. Followed by another sax solo. Or is that a synthesizer? I might be synthesizing. To me, UFO was at their creative peak during this time. That's a definite plus one for me, a big plus one. All right, the next song is a cover of an Eddie Cochran tune. Pete Way brought this to the band, according to Martin Popoff's book, because Pete Way was on a while Phil Mogg was on a Bruce Springsteen kick, Pete Way was on an Eddie Cochran, Johnny Kidd and the Pirates, and Gene Vincent kick at the time. So he brought something else in, which also recently, around the same time, well, actually earlier, not the same time, not 82, but way earlier. Of course, Sid Vicious covered this song. Something, and Pete Way hated Gary Lyon's production on this version of Something Else. Because it's full of saxophone. great version of something else, but the part that the thing that saves this version is Phil Mogg's great vocals.
Across the street, there's a commie just for me. So on that car will be a luxury. Right now I can't afford the gas. Brand new convertible is out of my class. That ain't stopping me from thinking to myself. That car's fine looking, it's something else.
I still like the version. I'm giving it a plus one here. Does this microphone sound okay? Check one, two, check one, two. It's I'm not used to the noise gate. I think that's making me throw me off a little bit, but I could turn a noise gate off. Let's see what happens when I do that. Maybe that won't bug me as bad. Let's see here. Let me turn the noise gate off. Hello, hello. Check one, two. All right, let's try that. Let's see where we are here. All right. Still getting used to the Rodecaster Pro, friends, so just bear with. It doesn't sound any better. Okay, next song, Back Into My Life, which Pete Way talks about, oh, we're chasing the hits, but this song was written by Pete Way, and it is a total ballad. And I love it. I think it's a good song. Let's get into the solo here. Now, the Michael Schenker fans probably hate this song. A plus one for me. All right, next song probably my least favorite song on the album. It's called You'll Get Love, written by Neil Carter, Paul Chapman, and Feel Mog. You'll Get Love. More of a classic UFO. Actually, it's a good song. It's my least favorite. It's still a good song. I think it's a good riff, and I think Neil Carter came up with this riff. By the way, I'm going to need some questions for Neil Carter. If any UFO, hardcore UFO fans out there, please send them to me, rockandrollgeek@gmail.com. Let's get it to the solo, because I'm pretty sure the solo is better. Back it up. All right. Here we go! That is a fucking great solo. Michael Schenker fanatics. I love Michael Schenker too, but man, you got to give Paul Chapman credit. The guy's a badass guitar player. All right, I should give it a plus one. I'm giving it a plus one. Next song, Doing It All For You, which is the last song on side one. Written by Pete Way, Paul Chapman, Neil Carter, and Phil Mogg. So all four of them wrote this. One of my favorites on the album, too. Starts off a little but the way the song ends lifts it over the top. Classic UFO. There's Pete Way right there. That's a typical Pete Way metal. Make it clean without a chase. There's something special, some feeling. I can't blow this one for sure. Phil Mogg's melody completely lifts the song up. Hardcore UFO fans probably don't think this is a great chorus, but I think it's great. Phil Mogg, talking about somebody who's underrated, please. Let's get it farther along into the song here. Oh, hell, okay, here we go. Pete Way playing chords. solo. That's as good as any UFO song, in my opinion. Pete Way, keep chasing the fucking hits. This song is great. I wish he would chase hits on his solo album as opposed to been coming out forever. What a riff that is. That's a huge plus one. So far, they're all plus ones. They don't make them like this anymore. They don't! All right, next song. Okay, we flip the album over. And the song is a song that they played on their last tour, We Belong to the Night. We'll fade in. Again, written by Pete Way, Neil Carter, and Phil Mogg. So I don't know why Pete Way feels left out. He wrote the best songs. And he wrote it with Neil Carter. According to Paul Chapman, this riff here is from a Lone Star tune called The Samurai. It is also, hold on, back it up a little bit. It is also Thin Lizzy, Are You Ready to Rock? Listen. Are you ready to rock? Are you ready to give it up? It's also a riff that Stevie Stiletto did on Food for Flies called Food for Flies. Great, great verse. Singles bar with the broken lights, easy church, Our Lady of the Night. Move it, darling, I need you. Cross my heart. And these lyrics, way better than any other metal band at the time was doing lyrics. No songs about dragons and dungeons and devils and good lyrics. You go with a warning and a smile. Move it, darling, I need a little back in the mix.
And you tell me that you can change the blast been set, rearrange, hold on tight to the morning light, cause we belong to the night. Life goes on down.
All right. I give Big We Belong to the Night a plus one. Still in their live set to this day. I guess they did that because Neil Carter came back in the band, which I heard he has brought new life back into Thin Lizzy. So kudos to Neil Carter. Looking forward to talking to him. Next song, let's take it to the end here, the end of We Belong to the Night, because on the album, it goes right into the next
We Belong
song.
To the Night.
Which is my favorite song on the album, Let It Rain, written by Pete Way. I'll tell you, Pete Way, Neil Carter, and Phil Mogg. One of my favorite UFO tunes of all time. What a chorus!
Take a little pain and how long to love last that you can never, never explain. Do you just let it rain? Let it rain. Don't stop those tears falling again. Just let it rain. Let it rain. Now you see that love's just a game.
According to the Wikipedia, that was a single and it only reached number 62. Oh, what a chorus. And the B-side of that, which is not on the album, I'm going to play the B-side for you. Heel of a Stranger, which is just as good as anything else on the album. Heel of a Stranger, listen to this. And most bands nowadays, they're lucky to have four good songs on an album. Every song on this album is good. Every single song. And this song didn't even make the album. It was a B-side. From a Japanese bonus edition.
Hold you captive.
Okay, back to the album. We don't give that one a, that one would be a plus one too, but that's not on the album. All right, so after Let It Rain is a ballad called Terry, which is written by Paul Chapman. This is the only one that was that came in completely Paul Chapman, except Pete Way wrote the, or not, Phil Mogg wrote the lyrics. Power ballad called Terry. UFO does better power ballads than any of those 80s hair metal bands ever wish they could have done.
Terry, every time we talk, we just disagree. Every chance we had is passing by. The simple things you say all drift away into the night. So don't let me know what I can see. Terry, is it over again? Lost in love, everybody laughing at me. With eyes like a child, you smile when you hit the tide. Holding me captive for the world to see.
Again, hardcore UFO fans probably think this song sucks. I love it. Come on, power ballad, that is a, they don't get much better than that for power ballad. UFO, better power ballads than anyone, anyone. Okay, another plus one, big plus one, big plus one. I mean, if I was doing, if I, so far perfect, every song plus one. Next song, Feel It, written by Pete Way and Phil Mogg. This is kind of a, little bit of a generic UFO. To me, this is probably the last great UFO album. I know people will probably say that when Shaker came back into the band for Walk on Water, but it's nowhere near as good as this. Nowhere near.
Feel it, feel it. Ooh, well, that's la, 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 la. The frozen dentist, bar and grill, swapping stories.
would be the only one so far I'd give a half to. Decent enough tune, but eh. My least favorite on the album. Finally, the album closes with a song written by Neil Carter and Phil Maugg called Dreamin'. Great riff. Slide guitar. Neil Carter, one of the best songs on the album to me. So all in all, 9.5 out of 10 on the Rock and Roll Geek scoring system. You agree with me, friends? Send me an email, rockandrollgeek@gmail.com with the subject line. Butler, you have outdone yourself. You turned me on to one of the greatest albums of all time. By the way, you have the Rock and Roll Geek app. Do not look on the bonus content because this album will not be there. That's all I'm going to say. That would be wrong. If you disagree with me, send me an email to rockandrollgeek@gmail.com with the subject line, Butler. This album blows. And by the way, the Rodecaster Pro sounds like shit! Put that in the subject line, rockandrollgeek@gmail.com. Look at that solo! Oh, man. I hope I convinced you how good of an album UFO Mechanics is. Not my favorite UFO album. Wild, Willing, and Innocent is my favorite. This should probably be my third or fourth favorite. It is a quality, quality album. A band at their creative peak. Just, and then Pete Way leaves the band. Paul Chapman would do one more album after that and then be and then join Pete Way in Wasted. That layered vocal over that is Neil Carter. Okay. Hope you enjoyed that track by track, friends. I have an audio comment. Here we go. Hello, caller.
Hello, Michael Butler.
Hey.
This is Brett Garski,
friend of the show. Hey, Brett Garski. How you doing, friend? Have not ever heard. I don't think I've ever heard from Brett Garski on an audio comment.
And then, with a show review of The Darkness.
Oh, good. They're coming here in March, and I'm going.
Before I start, want to ask, how are you doing?
I'm super great. Couldn't be better. Thank you for asking.
Great. Well, I saw them in Nuremberg, Germany. I tagged along with my wife. She was on a business trip, and we saw that they were playing around the same time. So,
Brett, you're American, it sounds like. Were you visiting Germany? She was on a business trip to Germany?
We saw them at this venue called the Hirsch. And this was on February 11th. So we went to the venue. It's not on the best side of town, but and this it, this kind of out of all these like kind of rundown apartments in an industrial area, it was this area, this venue called the Hirsch. People are just kind of mingling around, not really lined up before the show like they do in the States. They open up the doors, people like slowly wandered in. They're very laid back, unlike the States where people would be rushing in to get a, you know, their position.
I will say
this.
They
kind of climbing slowly.
American Heartbreak played Germany many times, and Germany's had some of the best rock crowds of any place that we've ever played.
Walked in. They looked at our tickets that I printed out, and they really didn't know what to do with them. Oh. They got somebody else to look at them.
And most people have hard tickets over there.
I still don't know what they knew what to do with them, because I don't think they see a lot of people from the States come to a show there. And they just kind of went, have a good time. And they probably just threw away the tickets.
Yeah, but these
people, kind of the laid back.
Yeah, these guys don't look like they're counterfeiters, so let them in.
It's for that they had there. Anyway, got there, tried to get beer, but you needed a deposit for the hard plastic mugs. So we had to like get cash out of the cash machine.
That's cool. I like that idea. Hard plastic mug.
Then you have to put a deposit. And then when you return the mug, they give you your deposit back.
I like that.
So that was a little different.
How about that? They should give you Yeti tumblers, pay a deposit, and you get it back. I love that idea. It's better than having a cheap plastic cup.
It sure made the venue look a lot different.
Oh, speaking of that, pardon, I'm sorry, Brett Garsky. I went to see Black Label Society on Sunday. I forgot all about that. Adam Alvarez had a ticket, and he took me in. He brought me to, he gave me a ticket to see. He asked me if I wanted to go with him. And you had to buy beer, and it had to go in a plastic cup. I did not drink the entire time I was in the venue because I did not want to have beer in a plastic cup. So what we did is we sat. There was a bar right next door. They had Tecates for $3. I drank about 6 Tecates while the first band was playing, and then we went in to watch Obituary. And Obituary was actually the best band on the bill because Black Label Society were boring. Okay, back to you, Brett Garsky.
Are cleaner after the show because there wasn't all these plastic cups everywhere littered about. It was clean, actually.
There
anyway,
you go. How about that?
So
yeah, and turtles don't eat plastic cups either, do they? See,
our beers and watch ready for the show. The opening band was some Australians named DJ Death Ray. It was a 3-piece. Drummer and 2 guitar players, kind of like grunge music. It's about all I could say, except they looked like they needed baths.
You know, they might have played with them when I saw them at the Catalyst Club in Santa Cruz, because it was a 3-piece band as well. And they were kind of grungy.
Played for about half an hour, and after that, they started playing music that I think the Darkness likes, because it was similar to their last tour where they played in the house music. There was like playing Boston, More Than a Feeling, Time of Our Lives, Time of My Life from the Dirty Dancing soundtrack. And then
that gets you in the mood.
I think they played a Thin Lizzy song. So exactly at 9 o'clock, the Darkness started. The band was all dressed in white, and they started to play the entire album of their latest.
That's
Easter
great.
Is canceled. When the band started, you didn't see Justin Hawkins out there because they started the music, but you heard his high voice, and then he came out after like half the first line of the song. And they proceeded to play that whole album, including, I know, one of your favorite songs, Deck Chair. So you'd be happy
great.
That they played that. And when they played Deck Chair, they all switched instruments. Except Justin, he still played the guitar. But I guess they're just having a lot of fun on tour. And then after, you know, then they played the final song with just Justin, the final song on Easter Is Canceled, just Justin on guitar alone on stage in his white outfit with, you know, showed off his chest. And I think he took it off. He took the top of his jumpsuit off.
Was your wife into it?
Anyway, it was pretty entertaining. And that album's not bad. And I know you like it. So you would really like it. And then they came back and played, you know, their bass player Frankie came out and with the cowbell like he always does. One way ticket to hell and back. So they just played that again. And they kind of just played all their hits. But that's when Justin was like really shined. How he interacted with the audience. There was a guy named Leopold in the audience. He pointed at him because he was wearing this Motorhead jacket, jean jacket. And Justin said he was like a true rocker and then dedicated a song to him. And I think the song was from their first album, Permission to Land. It was one of those songs, deep cut songs. And later in the night, he pointed it at this guy named Leopold again and started remembering Lenny and saying that when they're at a festival with Lemmy, Justin hurt his hand, and Lenny told them he would lend them Motorhead's guitar player, and he just remembered how kind he was to do that. I don't know if they took him up on it or not, but he was saying that he always remembers Lenny how kind he was. Anyway, Justin, throughout the night, I think he was just playing around with people's names because, you know, it was German names. And he was just asking various people who they were, what their names were, and introducing the band to them. And he would remember, then they'd play a song, and he'd remember everyone he talked to, just like a memory game as he went on. And he kept on adding Leopold at the end. And Leopold, this guy had this, you know, he's a big rocker guy, huge blonde hair that was, you know, rocking it back and forth the whole time. And he was like in heaven that he was getting all this attention, and women were walking by him and asking for pictures and things.
What if he got
laid? Towards the end of the night, Justin came out and took a picture with him. So I thought that was just really cool. But, and also Justin, he did the same things of, you know, he acted like he was swimming through the audience. And if you've seen him before, he's one of the best frontmen. And I know you agree with me on that. But to see him in Germany, the thing that really stood out with me is, you know, this isn't even their language. They knew almost every song by heart. Everyone was singing it at the top of their lungs. There was no moshing involved. They were just there to rock.
It was a good time. That's what a rock and roll show should be. A good fucking time.
I didn't see.
They're the best. I'm telling you, they're the best band going right now.
And there was drunk people, but there was an out of control drunk people, which there are a lot of times in Denver when I see shows. And
no, it's a total positive environment. It's fucking great.
It just seems like they knew how to drink. So I had a great time.
Germans do know how to drink.
And,
they do.
Then the show ended, and lights went on, and they played that Dirty Dancing soundtrack song again. I've had the time of my life, so I guess Justin really likes that song. Anyway, I think they're coming to San Francisco.
Yes, so I'm going.
If you like that Easter Is Canceled album, that's like a definite must to go see their show. Well, that's all I have to say. Stay frosty.
Stay frosty, friend. You too can leave an audio comment. Just email it to me. Record it on your phone, and then email it to rockandrollgeek@gmail.com. All right. Now, Casey posted something on the Rock and Roll Geek Facebook page, which I did not create, but I do approve people, wanting to put a show together for the 1,000th episode, which is coming up in 25 more episodes. We might do it a little bit sooner even. He called me the other day. So he put feelers out on the Facebook group, Some people seemed interested. You know, everybody says, yeah, I'll go. And then when it comes time to it, maybe they won't go. But he's working on putting together a show. Get this. Getting Tuck Smith and the Restless Hearts to play. This is not definite yet, but here's what he's trying. He's trying to get Tuck Smith to play at a place called the Ivy Room and possibly an American Heartbreak reunion. So, and even Featherwit's playing. So, and we will probably do the show live from the Ivy Room. So if you're interested, keep watching the Rock and Roll Geek Facebook group because that could happen, friends. All right, one more story before. Now, I'm going to pause this because I have to use the bathroom, and I'll come back and talk about one more story before we get out of here. All right, well, instead of pushing pause, I hit stop. So I'm still getting used to the Rodecaster. So one final story. Do I have just one story? I forgot to look at my notes here. Journey fires their rhythm section. How about this? Ross Valerie and Steve Smith, two guys who have been together, been in the band for a long time. I mean, they were the classic era. Journey have fired bassist Ross Valerie and drummer Steve Smith, accusing them of launching an ill-conceived corporate coup d'etat in an effort to take control of the band's name. This is from Ultimate Classic Rock. According to court documents filed into Superior Court, I'll tell you in a second. According to court documents filed in the Superior Court of Contra Costa County, California, by a lawyer representing both principals, Neil Sean and Jonathan Kane, I did not know they were the principal owners of the Journey name. Valerie and Smith attempted to gain control of Nightmare Productions, a band business entity they believed held rights to the group name. How do you try to do a corporate takeover behind somebody's back? The lawsuit filed yesterday by blah, 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 that in 1998, Sean Kane and former singer Steve Perry entered into a written agreement providing Sean and Kane the sole, exclusive, irrevocable right to control the Journey mark, including the Journey name. They are therefore authorized to perform together as Journey with or without anyone else. Smith and Valerie were members of Journey at various times during the history, blah, blah, blah. The document notes that Valerie and Smith hope to be that by taking over Nightmare Productions, they can hold the Journey name hostage and set themselves up with guaranteed income stream after they stop performing. Well, that kind of backfired on them because now they're kicked out of the band. According to the papers, Smith and Valerie began their campaign to take control of Nightmare Productions in December 2019 by conspiring to oust Sean and Kane from control. In addition to the firing of the two rhythm players, the suit says Journey are seeking damages in excess of $10 million. Do you think Ross Valerie has $10 million? I don't think so. Sean, who co-founded the band in 73 after Santana, is the sole remaining original member and the only one in the band to play at every performance. Okay. All right. Valerie, an original member, and Smith, who joined in 78, both previously fired from the band in 85 for creative differences, but were reinstated a decade later. Steve Perry left Journey for good in 1998. We all know that. Okay. The document, let me take a sip of this fine Sapporo. I'm still getting used to the sound of this microphone. The documents add that with their actions, Smith and Valerie have destroyed the chemistry, cohesion, and rapport necessary for the band to play together. Journey can only tour successfully and succeed creatively if it's united and the band members trust one another. The actions taken by Smith and Valerie shattered that trust. Sean and Kane have lost confidence in both of them and are not willing to ever perform with them again. Skip Miller, who serves as lead counsel as their lawyer, said that this is not an action that Neil and John wanted to bring against two men they once considered their brothers. But the devious and translucent behavior of Steve and Ross left them reluctantly with no choice but to act decisively. They will move forward by replacing Valerie and Smith with top musicians to support essential members Sean, Kane, and Panetta. Well, friends, if you're in a Journey tribute band in the Bay Area, and you're a bass player and a drummer, get your resumes to Neil Sean fast. One thing, do not ever fuck with Neil Sean. That guy will get his vengeance on you. Remember what he did to Jonathan Cain. Remember when Jonathan Cain went to the White House and he was talking about Donald Trump and stuff? And Neil Sean put the kibosh on that fast. Yeah, don't fuck with Neil Sean. Ross Valerie, I would like to have him on the show. So if you know Ross Valerie, tell him to come on the Rock and Roll Geek Show, friends. All right, that's going to do it for me. Let's close out with another song that Neil Carter played on. This is a Gary Moore tune off the album called Wild Frontier, which came out in 1987, March 18th, 1987, according to Amazon Music. This song is called Wild Frontier. Thank you for listening, friends. Remember, you're the producers of this show, and it's a value for value. So whatever value you get from this show, I ask that you please, please contribute to the show in one way or another by either calling radio stations and saying stay frosty or super great, couldn't be better. I'll take a sip of this fine Tecate, or anything like that, or purchasing from Amazon, or even better, donating to the Rock and Roll Geek Show. Thank you for listening, friends. I'll talk to you soon. This is Gary Moore, Wild Frontier, with Neil Carter on keyboards. I got to back it up here. Back it up. The producer is fucking up again. Okay, thanks for listening, friends.
Tell me I'll forget as time goes on. It's a rock and roll geek train wreck.